If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 2 and look at verse 8. The psalm that begins, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" comes down to verse 8, where God is speaking to his son. And he says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." I was thinking about the uttermost parts of the earth. It's rather a colorful, comprehensive phrase, usually translated ends of the earth, and it occurs no less than 30 times in the Old Testament, 5 in the New. The verse in our text is God's promise to his son, as I mentioned, and it appears again and again. Psalm 22:27, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kingdoms of the nations shall worship before thee." Psalm 72:8, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." Micah 5:4, "And he shall stand and feed," and the word could mean rule, "in the strength of the Lord," in the strength of Jehovah, "in the majesty of the name of Jehovah his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." So we find here the divine Son, whose future dominion will extend to the uttermost parts of the earth, is also the very creator of those same ends of the earth. Proverbs 30, verse 4, "Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" And we can. We know. He who both created and will ultimately regain all the ends of the earth will also be their judge. 1 Samuel 2:10, "The adversaries of Jehovah shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. Jehovah shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." And literally that is of his Messiah. For the present, however, Christ is not honored. He is not honored as creator. He is not honored as the coming king. I remember my 19th birthday. That was a long time ago. Time magazine that month came out with a cover that said, "God is dead." And in the 60s, there was a great movement of virulent atheism, sort of a pendulum swing from the 50s, where everybody was urging everybody to go to church and synagogue and so on. Things have changed. In fact, during that period of time, all the prophecies were that religion was on its way out. Nobody had much use for it anymore. Back then in 2005, 6, 7, there came Mr. Dawkins, came out with the article called "The Selfish Gene." And he pretended that he was speaking science when he was actually speaking metaphysics, saying that the genes are our reason for living. They the genes are housed within this robot shape of us, telling us what to do, gearing us to promote ourselves so that they may exist. And that's our reason for existence. Called the New Atheism. And today, Christ is not honored. He is not glorified. And so we have our job to do. It's kind of hard thinking about facing the world as we see it. What we believe in is truly mocked. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. However, in spite of that fact, he provided salvation for men. Acts 13:47. Paul is preaching, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And so, as Christ himself told us, to take that message to the uttermost part. So he's also set in motion not only the plan of salvation, but actually the plan of salvation involves the plan to reconcile the world to himself. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are able to go to people and say, you didn't know that you were the enemy of God and God was your enemy. You didn't know this, but God did, and he has initiated a program to reconcile the two of you. I've been given that word to share with you. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we're to take that message as ambassadors, to take that message, do what we can to get it to the uttermost part. And then Isaiah 45:22. Here's the cry of God. Look unto me. This is the words that we want to share with the others. In Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In Christ's place, we say, be reconciled to God. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. There's our work, our message.